For some real estate agents, the passing of the Fair Housing Law was good business. They could sell a black family a home in a white neighborhood and start a domino effect.
Because the fear, they knew the white family is selling quickly.
Beth O'Leary is a local historian. She says agents would buy vacated houses cheaply, then sell them at inflated prices to black families. Finally, they'd help the white families find a new home in the suburbs.
It is the trifecta. They make a lot of money.
And that's what was happening in Richmond. Agents targeted the Carillon neighborhood. Within 18 months, a third of the community was African American. Martha Rollins, who was white, remembers telling her realtor she wanted to live there.
I said, "This is the one I really want to see." And he said, "Oh, no, you don't want to live there. It's a changing neighborhood." I didn't know what he meant by changing neighborhood. I said, "Well, what is that?" Because I thought change was good.
The agent told her crime would rise, property values would fall. She remembers laying in bed in her new home, afraid.
You have to choose, not fear. I don't know how long, maybe a half an hour, maybe an hour. I said, "Nope, I'm not going to let him tell me how something is going to turn out."
There were 350 houses in that neighborhood. By the summer, Martha had knocked on every door. She met Imogene Draper, who's black.
I think that when we met, it must have been in May.
And then I said, "Well, where are you from?" I'll always remember this. And she said, "Oh, I'm from a little town you wouldn't have ever heard of called Martinsville."
As it turned out, they had grown up in the same South Side city. Both could trace their roots there to before the Civil War.
And I knew about Martha's family. One of my great uncles worked in the home of her grandmother.
I lived in high school on Plantation Road between, I think it was Jeb Stuart and AP Hill Streets. The country club that was there, when I got married in 1966, they wouldn't let me have any African Americans come to my reception, so I refused to have my reception there.
My dad would work in the country club. I had members of the family who worked in the country club. We had two different lifestyles, obviously.
Just a couple decades later, and things had changed enough that Martha and Imogene were now neighbors and friends. But in the 60s, in their new community in Richmond, much was still the same.
One woman down the street from me said, "Well, I can't afford to move, but I just pretend if I see somebody black walking into her house that they're just working there."
I thought I belonged here, and I did.
So along with other families, they created a civic association. The group hosted house tours, and the brochures read, "Good neighbors come in all colors." They founded an annual arts festival, where Imogene says neighbors would have to work together.
But what I learned in this community is how to get things accomplished in the mainstream system, to participate, to offer the ideas, to debate the ideas, to reach the decisions together.
It took years, but eventually the neighborhood stabilized. Housing turnover slowed and property values rose. In the 70s, then Virginia Governor Linwood Houlton praised their efforts as a national model for integration. Today, the Carillon is one of the most racially and socioeconomically diverse neighborhoods in Richmond. Imogene says the inspiration for their hard work was their children.
Our children deserve to be able to live together without the baggage, of the previous generations in the Jim Crow era and that sort of thing.
Today, Imogene's daughter lives in her house and serves on the board of the Civic Association, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopane.